Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Churning Congregation. I was out of the 12th Hour Exhortation. Today is October 19, 2017, Artist History 30, 2021. We're going to start our first service on this day with a song entitled A Shelter in the Time of Storm. The Yahshua Rock, in the Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes afraid, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Yahshua is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Part 11. And raise them up, or raise him up. Anyway, we're going to start. We're in Time of Greetings, Volume 1, Number 37. We're on page 12. We have our scripture reading is taken from Joel, the third chapter of Joel. Start with the first verse. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will feed with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Verse 3, Joel chapter 3. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because you have taken my silver and my gold, and have scattered into your temples my goodly present thing. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them unto the Sabaeans, unto a people far off, for Yahweh has spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye together, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Fear the cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Yahweh. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And I wrote a song one time entitled, Just Cross the Valley of Indecision. So here this valley of decision. For the day of Yahweh is near in the valley of decision. So, we have already arrived at that place to enter into this valley of indecision for the whole world. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The sun, the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Yahweh will be the hope for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Yahweh, your Elohim, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with their waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yahweh. Now, in other words, let's do that again. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yahshua, the house of the David, and shall water the valley of the Shittim. Now here's this fountain that's going to come forth from this ensign, where this ensign has been set up, here on the throne of David, Luke 1:31, 32, 33. Set up on the throne of David, Yahshua has come to reign, and to set up, and that fountain. Now, that fountain is also mentioned in Zechariah 3:7. And let's look at that. It says that, Thus saith Yahshua of the host, if thou wilt walk in my ways, walk in my ways, and if thou shalt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my course, and I will give thee place to walk among these that stand by. I missed my point. It's Zechariah 13, actually, what I'm after. 13 said, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Yahshua of the host. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Okay? Now it says in verse 1 of Zechariah 13, In that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David. Okay. So now what's the difference in that fountain and Joel 3:18 where it says, And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Yahweh, the Father, house of the Son, Yahshua of hosts, and the house of David. They're all three one and the same. And shall water the valley of Shittim. Okay. Okay, let's look at now Ezekiel 47. Let's look at Ezekiel 47 river and see what we got there. And see if that's the same fountain. It says Ezekiel 47. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house. Of the house of what? The house of the Yeshua. That we just read about there in Joel 3:18. Okay. And Zechariah 13:1. It says, and he brought me again unto the door of the house of Yahweh, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. And the threshold of the house of David, the house of the Yahweh, house of the Yahshua, eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Now these are waters that's coming out of the sanctuary in the house of the Yahweh, in the house of the David. And again he measured me 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knee. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the lawn. Afterwards he measured 1,000. And there was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, and waters were swimming, a river that could not be passed over. And what was that song that I wrote, going to take a swim in the river of life? Well, that river's wide. That river can't be passed over. And it's deep. Deep as the sea. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because their waters, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything that shall live, whether the river cometh, now this fountain opened up for sin and uncleanness there in Zechariah 13 and Joel 3:18 and so forth. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it. I'm on verse 10, Ezekiel 47. And it shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglion. That's from the Adventist church to the Babylon. And Engedi and in Eglion. There shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according unto their kinds, as the fish of the great sea exceeding many. But the marred places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given unto salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because their waters are issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according unto the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have 2 portions, and you shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your father, and this land shall fall unto you for an inheritance. And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of the Hethlon, as men go to Zedad, Hamath, Berotha, Shibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar, Hepticon, which is by the coast of Huron, and the border from the sea shall be Hazar, Enan, the border of Damascus and the north, northward, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north side, and the east side you shall measure from Huron and from Damascus and from Gilead, from Damascus and from Gilead. Well, that's where I came from, to here. I came from Gilead. Well, and from the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border unto the east sea, and this is the east side, and the south side southward from Tamar, even unto the waters of the Strath and Kadesh, the river unto the great sea, and this is the south side southward. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border, till a man come over against Hamath, this is the west side. So shall ye divide this land unto you according unto the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and unto the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall you give him his inheritance, saith Yahweh Elohim. So there's your stranger that gets an inheritance as long as he abides with you. He gets the same inheritance that you got. That's the same thing as Isaiah, it's collaboration as Isaiah 56. And let's go back to Joel chapter 3, verse 19. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. Okay, here you are. Egypt shall be a desolation. In this case, this prophecy is applying to Gilead Center, because Gilead Center and the wilderness of the people is in the land of Egypt. Okay? And Edom represents the headquarters for the Adventist Church there at Gilead Center, with Brother Johnson at the helm, shall be a desolate wilderness. And that's where we were. We were in the wilderness. We were in the wilderness of Egypt, because that's where Edom ended up. But Esau had to cross over the border from Israel whenever he's father died, and he separated from his brother Jacob in the land of Israel. Then he had to go over to Zidon, and he had to take care of running the kingdom of Edom. Now, he was the firstborn of a Hebrew father, Esau was. But nevertheless, he ended up being the king over Edom, which today translates into the Adventist Church, for the violence against the children of Judah. So, Rodas didn't know it, but that he was committing violence against the tribe of Judah. Down at Kermit, whenever he rejected that message that I gave him down in 2002, he didn't realize that he was committing violence against the children of Judah by rejecting that message. Because Judah is the lawgiver, and Yahshua is sitting upon the throne of David in this house of David, which is of the tribe of Judah. And Yahshua come to take command of the tribe of Judah and the house of David there at Kermit, Texas, that Edom had taken charge of, until it was time for him to give up his birthright forever. All right? because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Okay. But Judah shall dwell forever. But Judah shall dwell forever. Judah's not going to be cut off. The house of Edom, yeah, but didn't stand forever. Was about, according to the prophecy, was never to stand forever. But Judah says shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. Notice it says shall dwell forever. In other words, wherever they're led to, that's where they're going to dwell. And when their time is up in that one place, they're going to be led to another place. But they're going to dwell forever. Okay, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Yahweh, for the Yahshua dwelleth in Zion. Okay, that's the end of Joel chapter 3. Now let's go to our regular reading. That's taken from Tonic Reading, volume 1, number 37. We're on page 12. And this is part 11. It says, furthermore, though one be of the Gentile blood, if he truly accepts Yahshua, he by his spiritual birth becomes of the seed of Abraham. Says inspiration. Did you know what? You can use this word stranger that we just read about there in Ezekiel 47 that joins the house of Israel. It's also in Isaiah 56. And here it is right here, called Gentiles. Gentiles are strangers, but they're kin to the house of Israel. Okay. They're kin to the Hebrew Israelites. So it says, if you be Yahshua, if you belong unto Yahshua, and the only way you can belong to Yahshua is by being covered by his blood and by obeying his commandments so that you can be covered by his blood. And this is what enables you then to be empowered with the Holy Spirit from on high to accomplish a miracle working accomplishments here on this earth for your fellow man. Alright, so but if you belong unto the Yahshua, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So all the strangers, all the Gentiles, everybody, the great multitude of every kindred, race, tongue, and people, if they lay hold of this covenant, everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, lay hold and become covered by his blood. The only way you can do that is you have to join the kingdom and do what the Romans chapter 6 says. You've got to be baptized into the likeness of his death and resurrected and come forth in the likeness of his resurrection. How that baptismal fountain. And then that's what he will accept you once you come out of there and raise you up. He will raise you up. Genesis 3:29. The children of Abraham here addressed, therefore, are not to be sought among the identified unbelieving Jews. Okay. But among the Christians. So Jews is a generic term for the whole house of Israel, the 12 tribes, even though it actually comes from Judah. And Christians also is a generic term for all of those that come out of the apostolic era that accepted Yahshua the Messiah. Whether they were covered by his blood or not, if they accepted him, then they were identified as Christians. Not because they were covered by his blood, because they were truly covered by his blood, all the Christians would call themselves the descendants of the apostolic Nazarene creed. That's another point to consider. They are admonished to look unto Abraham and Sarah and to consider that when Yahweh called Abraham, though he was alone, he nevertheless obeyed Yahweh's, obeyed and Yahweh blessed him. Then, in spite of all the apparent impossibilities with both him and Sarah, he increased him. What if you personally and alone were called by his word, as with Abraham, to stand alone for the truth and righteousness? Would you be a hero for Yahweh, as with Abraham? Or would you do as did backsliding Judas Iscariot? If we were not privileged to choose as with Abraham, Yahweh would not have reminded us of Abraham's experience. So, I want to ask a question. P.T. Holliff alluded to the fact that Judas had apostatized. Well, the only way that you can apostatize, or be recognized as having apostatized, is that you have to first be a believer and accept Yahshua the Messiah and perform your vow and have been accepted by him because of the sincerity of your heart. Judas never did accept Yahshua, ever. So he was not a believer. He saw the evidence of the truth, but he never would break over and be converted by it and become a part of it. So when he didn't do that, then he didn't have anything to apostatize from. So he never was in the loop to begin with. So Vichyala says he apostatized. Well, no, he didn't apostatize. He never did join. He wormed his way in, become a disciple, accepted him because he had an outward appearance and made an outward show of piety. But Yahshua reads the heart, and he knew his heart from the start go, but he let it stand for 3.5 years. Okay, let's go on. We are plainly told not to lose courage, really to have faith in the Yahweh, for he intends to bless and increase us as he blessed and increased our ancestors, for the Abraham and Sarah, for the reason he gives for the blessing us as he blessed them is this, Isaiah 51:3. For Yahweh shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Where is all these waste places? What is he talking about? He'll comfort all his waste places. The purified kingdom is his waste places. So whenever he sets up a kingdom, whenever Yahweh sets up his kingdom, anywhere, He has it purified and sanctified at the beginning of it. But when it falls away, that means they have apostatized. If you've been purified and sanctified, then you fall away. That constitutes apostasy. Judas, his spirit was never purified. Well, I say he wasn't. I may need to back up on that. Yeah, he was given the same commission that the disciples were given. Okay, he was, when Yahshua told them when they go out at the beginning of his ministry, he says, you go out and you're like nothing, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons, and so forth. He says, you all have this gift. You all are empowered. You all have been anointed to do this. Yet, of those 12, Judas Iscariot was one of the 12. He did not have, they didn't. The 12 disciples still were not converted until after the Last Supper 3.5 years later. But yet Yahshua anointed them because of their declaration of accepting him and saying, yeah, all you say we will do. They were willing to go out and work for him, including Jesus' chariot. Or at least he put on the appearance. So, for Yahshua shall comfort Zion. Well, that's the only ones, and that's the only place that has comfort is where Yahshua places his blessing and his anointed people. That's the only place that has comfort. And Gilead Center, at their beginning, had comfort. But they lost it. So that's the same thing as apostatizing. He will comfort all her waste places. Okay, so now all his places have been laid waste. Wherever he sends his people to raise up a fountain there, open up a fountain, for sin and uncleanness, well then he sanctifies it. And he restores the old waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. The focal point of the scriptures is the rebuilding of Zion. And that is our charge. Isaiah 51, 4 and 5. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Now notice it says, mine arms, A-R-M-S, shall judge the people, but then it says, and on mine arm, singular, shall they trust. Okay, so his right arm is his house, is his temple, is the house of David. That's his right arm. This is what the people are going to trust into, this house of David, for salvation here in the last days. Something visible, tangible, that they can see with their own eyes. And observe the miracle working power that comes forth from that house. That's why they join it. That's why they join Yahshua and the type when he was walking this earth 2,000 years ago. They joined him because they saw his miracle working power with their own eyes. The same thing with the house of David. When they see the miracle working power coming forth out of this house, then they're going to come and join it in the droves. We are asked to hearken unto Yahshua because a law and a judgment are to proceed from him. These are to be a light unto the people. Again, it says Yahshua, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahshua's house, or the Yahweh, let's just say the mountain of the Yahweh, the Father's house, shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow under it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, unto the house of the Elohim of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nation, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hoofs. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2, 2-4. The law is to go forth when the mountain kingdom of the Yahweh's house is established on the top of the mountain, the kingdom, and when it is exalted above the hill, then the light shall cause the rebuked nation to flow unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and two, instead of beating their plowshares in the swords and their pruning hooks in the spears, Joel 3:10, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 2:4. To say, my righteousness is near and my salvation is gone forth, is to say that salvation has been here but righteousness is about to come. Okay. So it says, and my salvation is going forth. And how true? What is the Yeshua's arm that judges the people? This we shall see as we read Isaiah 51, 9 and 10. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Yeshua. Awake as in the ancient days, and the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea and the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? How illogical it would be for Yahweh to be trying to awake himself as though he or his own arm is asleep. This verse shows that he calls the Exodus movement his arm. Okay, the house of David. The house of David he brought out of Egypt with Moses at the head of it. Yahshua sitting. Yahshua was ahead of it. He was that rock in the cloud that led the children of Israel by Moses. Rightly so, because Yahweh does his work with his servants. His servants, therefore, are his arm. And they shall judge, rule the people, and the people shall trust on them. Why? Because they have miracle-working power coming out of their house. They demonstrate it. That's why I was talking to a man this morning to do a little business with him. And he says, well, I'm sore because I've just had an operation and I've had prostate cancer. I'm sore. I can't do much. And so I talked to him about a cure for his problem. He never heard anything like it in his life. Never heard anything like it. But he was excited to know. It sounded like you were to learn about this, what I had to offer. So this is what I'm talking about. When you've got the healing, miracle working power to offer people, then they will take a hold. They will take a hold and come to this house, this arm of the Yahweh. Isaiah 51:6, lift up your eyes into the heavens and look upon the earth. And these, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in a like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. We are necessarily reminded that all else shall perish, but those who obtain Yahweh's salvation and his righteousness shall stand forever. Isaiah 51:7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. For the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of the reviling. Those who know his righteousness, the people under whom this truth is revealed, and who have his law in their heart, obviously will suffer from reproach and from the revilings of men, that they are admonished not to fear. And what shall be the end of their adversaries? Here is the answer. Isaiah 51:8. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Oh, my. Here's an answer right here to Kermit. Kermit had a generation. In our day, a generation is accounted like 40 years. Okay, so the generation of the rod is from 1930 to 70. The generation of Gilead Center from 1970 to 2010. The generation of the Adventist for Judah was from 1890 to 1930. Generation for the Adventist in their beginning was from 1844. To 1890. Okay. Well, basically, technically 1850 to 1890 was a 40-year period for the advent for the first feeding pasturbation. The second generation of the Adventists appeared in 1930 with the Davidian Shepherd Rod, Seventh-day Advent, the 1970s. The third generation appeared from, no, we can't skip from 1890 to 1930. That was a second generation for the Adventists. So the Adventists had four generations. From 1844 to 2003, they had passed through four generations. They finished out the fourth generation in 2010. And the one that finished out was Rhodes W. Johnson, and he died 2 years later after finished out the fourth generation, because he was the angel of the seventh candlestick that got discharged from his duties at Gilead Center. Okay. So it says, painfully, we pity our little sin brethren who are so angrily, but blindly against us. Okay. So it says, Isaiah 51:9-10. Awake, awake, put on the strength. Now let's do that a little bit better. Put on my strength, O arm of the Yahweh. Okay. Put on my strength, O arm of the Yeshua, house of David. Put on strength now. Time to put on strength. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generation of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? If people were not asleep, then what need would there be for calling them to awaken? We are glad that Elohim himself is arousing us and plainly telling us that as our forefathers did great things, we too, as the Yeshua's arm, can and shall do even greater things than they. Isaiah 51:11, therefore the redeemed of Yeshua shall return and come with singing, and Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall attain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Thanks be unto the Yahweh that he is not only to awaken his people and to cause them to sing while marching in Zion, but is also able to remove their sorrows and their mourning forever. He is well able to put everlasting joy upon their head. Isaiah 51:12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? In an endeavor to show us how absurd it is to fear a man that shall die, as does grass underfoot, inspiration in this verse emphasizes the promised comforts of Isaiah 51:11. It must be that with some, the fear of men is great. Now that we have Elohim's word and comfort, let us fear him who only is to be feared. Isaiah 51:13. And forgettest the Yahweh thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. Where is the fury of the oppressor? When we begin to fear man, just that moment we forget Yahweh. The question, where is the fury of the oppressor, implies that in the reality there is not any, that it is only a bluff. Isaiah 51:14-15, for the captive exile hasteneth, that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that he his bread should fail. But I am the Yahweh the Elohim that divided the seas, whose waves roared. The Yahshua the host is his name. Let's do that again. But I am the Yahweh the Elohim that divided the sea, whose waves roared. for Yahshua the host is his name. So Yahshua is the name of the Son, and he's a Yahshua, he's the one of the host. So let's go back and reread that. But I am the Yahshua, thy Savior, that divided the sea by the Moses' stretched out arm with the sword, whose ways roared, or with the rod, for the Yahshua, the host is his name. Yes, the captives hope for their release, but the Yahshua does not hope for the sea itself to divide. He divides it at will and causes his people to go through on dry ground. Isaiah 51:16, and I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Here we have Elohim's own statement, that the words we speak are the words of the truth direct from him. Moreover, he assures us that his hand, his care and keeping are around us, that by this means he may plant the heavens, lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Here we have Elohim's own statement, that the words we speak are the words of the truth direct from him. Moreover, he assures us that his hand, his care and keeping are around us, that by this means he may plant the heavens, but lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Isaiah 51:17, awake, awake, stand up, O Yerusha, which has drunk at the hand of Yahweh the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunk in the dregs of the cup of the trembling, and run them out. Awake, awake, O my friend, and to the fact that our captivity, our sorrow, and our mourning are about over. We are never again to go through them. He who divides the sea can indeed make us free. Okay, so that's Yahshua. He's the one that divided the sea. He's the one that can make us free. Isaiah 51:18. There is none to guide her among all the sons of whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. If you remember, Yahshua came at the end of the Old Testament, still in the Old Testament period, where he did all of his ministry. Starting at the age of 30. For 3.5 years, he brought the culmination and the fulfillment of the Old Testament by the healing and of the people, of all their diseases, of all their demon possession and everything. That's what he did at the end of the Old Testament world. He didn't do that in the New Testament world. Because whenever the New Testament, after he hung on the cross, died on the cross, to seal the future of all of those that accepted him in the Old Testament, all that multitude of people in all those cities around Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, all of that area where he went, and the Zidon, he went into other countries, those people he healed, that was in the Old Testament. So that was a type. That was a type. Here in the end time, he's to come again in a person, and through his servants, because he raised up the 12 apostles to carry on the healing power in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, his disciples were given the healing power, but they exercised very little of it, if any at all, in the Old Testament. But when the New Testament came and the 12 apostles were anointed and sanctified, first by the Passover, and then by the Pentecost, he got the appointment of the Holy Spirit, and then they went forth doing greater works than Yahshua did, and they healed the multitudes of people, the disciples, without Judas Iscariot, that is. All right, so he says, there is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. how there is any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she has brought up. Times past and even present condition is now brought to view for our consideration. What a desolation, what a terrible state for a church to be in after having brought forth many converts. There is not a one to give her a helping hand. Here we are told that the lady in Laodicea, the laity in Laodicea, the Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, Seventh-day Adventist Church, the third and last feeding pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, during the judgment of the dead period, the mother, the ministry, no, not even one endeavors to lift his hand to help the ministering brethren. What? When I joined Gilead Center in 1970, I went to work in the field. Did you know what? Not one member of Gilead Center rose up to help me out there in the field. Until I got a vested interest going and started bringing people to Gilead Center. And then what few people I brought there, they ended up not staying because of the slothfulness and the wickedness of the laity that dwell there at Gilead Center. They drove them away, brought them in, had them baptized, and then they, starting with the pastor's wife, Laura Mae Johnson, and Amy DeLong, the two ringleaders, and Mary Franklin, Amy's good friend, she brought in from California. Those three women were evil to the core, and they drove out all newcomers that dare try to come in to get that center. So here it is right here in Vicki Hollis writing. They are all more or less in agreement to stay wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, no, not even one endeavors to lift his hand to help the ministering brethren. They wouldn't lift their hand to help me to bring in more converts, but the ones that I did bring in, they lifted their hand to drive them out, drive them away. Okay, Isaiah 51:19. There, these two things are coming unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation, destruction, and the famine, and the sword, by whom shall I comfort thee? David of old was given to choose one of three things. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies, while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? 2 Samuel 24:10-13. Now, in the like manner, Elohim's people are asked to choose either desolation and destruction, or famine and the sword. Then, unlike in David's day, he himself solves our problem if we let him. These are some of the things which Elohim's people have gone through, even how some of these things still surround them. Our hope, nevertheless, is in the Yahweh's deliverance. Isaiah 51:20-22. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets as a wild bull in a net. They are full of the fury of the Yahweh. The rebuke of thy Elohim, therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith Yahweh, the Yahweh and thy Elohim that pleadeth the cause of his people. This is Yahshua, thus saith Yahshua. And thy Savior, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of the trembling, even the dregs of the cup of thy fury, of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. Shall we not be thankful to know that everyone whose name is found in the book shall be delivered even from the time of the trouble, into which we are soon to enter? Michael shall stand up for his people, Daniel 12:1. Once he gathers us, he shall never again scatter us. Isn't that promising? Isaiah 51:23, but I will put the cup of his fury, that is, into the hand of them that afflict thee, which has said unto thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the street to them that went over. For the tables are turned. What Yahweh's people once had to take from their enemies must soon take from them. This is happening in the United States. The good people in the United States have taken from their enemies that have been the rulers of our government. They have taken from them for 250 years. Or longer in this country. But now the tables have turned. We have a general that has been elected to the President of the United States that is every much a king and a general and a fighting man. And he is taking the bull by the horns and he is turning this country around, and the enemies are fleeing and they are in consternation and confusion on every hand, and they know not which way to go or what to do, because he's got them all in disarray. Let us therefore not neglect to take advantage of the Elohim's plea of the delivered. Yes, my people, my friends, since our long and trying journey is at an end, let us, as Yahweh's arm, give earnest heed unto his awakening call. Now at the end of our long and trying journey, let us allow nothing to hold us back from the obtaining of the two things that are to make us stand forever, Yahweh's salvation and his righteousness. Now let's do that again. Yahshua, the Son's salvation and his righteousness. We are now asked to choose either to stand on the Yahweh side or on the side of his adversaries, those whom we fear, those who are doing everything to close our eyes unto Yahweh's truth for this time, either to choose Yahweh, his spirit, and his revealed truth, or to choose men, desolation and destruction, the famine and the sword. Anyway, this brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour, call us number 11, click on the audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Yahshua saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Spread the tidings all around. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Bear the news to every land. Boundless deeps and cross the way. On the tears of Yahshua's command. Yahshua says, Yahshua says, walked it on the road in time. Yahshua says, Yahshua says, built his sinners far and wide. Yahshua says, Yahshua says, and ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean chain. Her shall keep her jubilee. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing above the battle strife. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. By his death and endless life. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, singing in triumph for the tomb. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Let the nation now rejoice. Yahshua saves, Yahshua saves. Our salvation full and free, on his hill and deepest cave. This our song of victory. same.